Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, Wednesday midweek worship service. We are so glad that you joined us here on our social media as we come together to feast, to fill ourselves with the goodness and the food of God. We thank you for taking time out to share with us, and we ask that you enjoy this musical selection, which we have used from other artists. The Hour of Prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord,
the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house,
oh,
make me a house of prayer,
a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out,
make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire of my altar never burn out, the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out, make me a house of prayer. Fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. I want to seek your face, oh Lord. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Please, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house. Seek your face, seek your face.
Before we get started, we do want to open up in prayer. There is warfare, and we thank God for it because that means that we are on the road doing His, that which He requires us to do. So we will have Pastor Marlett do open with prayer, remembering those who are bereaved, families, those who are sick, those that are shut in, those that have been attacked by the enemy, those that are young people, our old people, all of those challenges that are rising up against the church, because we are manifesting the kingdom of God here on earth. This is what the new world things look like. Pastor Marlon.
Your most holy and sovereign name, Father God. We come right now, Father God. We surrender to you. We repent, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our situation, over our going, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, our leaders, our ministry, and warring angels, Father God, over the lives and the destinies, Father God, of those, Father God, that have found themselves under warfare, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God. Even though the enemy seeks around like a roaring lion, that which he can destroy, Father God, we thank you that you are the great I Am. There is none greater than you. There is no name, no one powerful than you are. You have already written the final chapter, and you said that we are victorious, Father God. That we rejoice, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the situation we find ourselves in, Father God, we lift up surrendering hands to you, Father God. We render a sacrifice, we release it, render a sacrifice of praise, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. When we find ourselves in a continual state of worship before you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your word says that praise, that your word says that praise is timely among your people, Father God. So we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that no matter what we walk in victory. We see victory. We speak victory. We release victory, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you have called us victorious. And so we glorify you and we honor you, Father God. We decree, Father God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned to win, Father God. The word decrees that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, thank you that we will be found studying and releasing your word into the atmosphere because it is true. Father God, thank you. It is from the beginning, and we thank you, Father God, that it is never changing. God, in the name of Jesus, and we glorify you, God. We honor you. We thank you as a ministry, not just as individuals, but as a ministry. You've gone to us and called us victorious. Thank you, Father God. But as a ministry, Father God, you have placed us up under an open window, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father God, that as praises go up through this ministry, from this ministry, blessings will come down. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you have spoken to our destiny and you called it to be now. We thank you for maturation, manifestation, momentum, and miracles, Father God. We thank you that we will be found in a posture and in a place to receive that which you have for us, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, as we have come together over the lines, Father God, in our different places, we pray, Father God,
Father God, that this is still the coming together, Father God, and we thank you that we are gathered in your name, Father God, and then thank you that you have connected us in your midst, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and we glorify you and we honor you for the teaching that will come forth from our apostle, Father God. We pray for all of those, Father God, who have experienced bereavement, Father God, and the loss, Father God. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they find it to be
deliverance, and peace and comfort into you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that they have found themselves, that you have called them home, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father God, that you have left, Father God, in the name of Jesus, peace and the comfort of the Holy Spirit to the families and the loved ones. God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father God, and we pray, God, right now that they will surrender, Father God, to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and receive the comfort, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that even in the hour where it seems they're alone, Father God, thank you for your comfort. Thank you for your reassurance that you are with them, that you have never left them, nor will you forsake them, Father God. Thank you that you are reassuring and establishing in the earth that you are God. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you and we praise you, Father God. We thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God, and now we will receive the ministry and the teaching from the Apostle Guest House, Dr. Shauna Hart.
Apostolic blessings to you. We are excited to be able to gather together again, and I am excited to hear how your process has gone with your life assignment for this week. When we met, or as we've been meeting, we've been encouraging you to, begin to look at the previous containers that housed the wineskin that he was looking that you had, that housed the wine that you had. What did those skins look like? And we're in an age where all kind of skins and skins mean different things to different people. And so, what does this new wineskin look like that the Holy Spirit is looking to develop in you? Can you put new wine in the skin that you have right now? Do you have the skin that is prepared for the anointing that's forthcoming? Do you have the skin? Do you have what is needed for the position, for the posture, for even the prayer strategy? Overseer, she says, for the more of. Do you possess what's needed? As we were just kind of preparing dinner, one of the things I could hear just very slightly, which if we were in the place right now, if you were in the place right now that you desire to be, would that satisfy you? Are you ready for it? And it's funny because obviously I always said, you really don't know what will make you happy. You really don't know what will satisfy you. And how many times have you said what it is you wanted and it still didn't do it? And so Matthew, the 13th chapter, continues to speak to us about, I want to call it this unique process. And I want us to begin to think about, let me share this with you. I believe it's Matthew, the 13th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. It says, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? And he replied, the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Those who have will be given more, and those who have will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And for those who do not eat, for those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to you in parables. Then he goes on to say, though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they close their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And I thought that that was a very profound passage of scripture as it relates to this new wineskin, because are we ready for the more? Are we ready, he said Sunday, as it related to releasing the anointing of breakthrough and the releasing the anointing, the finisher's anointing. And so making some assessments to see, are we ready? Or are we in a place where we see, but we don't see? We hear, but we don't comprehend and understand, because according to Matthew 13:10-15, the problem is we do that. We're trying to hear, see, perceive, and understand, and even be healed in old wineskin with new provision. So we want to take what God has promised, and we want to apply it to where we've been or what we have experienced. And that old wineskin isn't capable of translating or decoding or even being useful in our process. So we have to ask ourselves, are we ready? The scripture, I believe, is Psalm says, those that seek the hand of God are blessed temporarily, but those that seek the heart of God will be blessed eternally. Is it possible that our old wineskin had us seeking the hand of God, seeking God for what he can do or for what he has, and not seeking a relationship, a vertical relationship with him that would change our horizontal relationship with each other? And so I believe that as he prepares us for this upcoming season of transition, we're definitely already in a season of transition, but as he continues to prepare us, are we ready? Will it be said about us, like Psalms 123:2 and Hebrews 11:6 indicates, that we are just seeking the hand of God? And it's interesting because it says we seek the hand of God, and there is a temporary blessing that will come your way, but it will not sustain you. And so sometimes we are made, if I can say, satisfied or pacified, that's probably a more accurate statement, off of the temporary, and we were meant for so much more. We were meant for so much more. And so Matthew 9:17 says, we probably should go up one. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tears worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skin will burst and the wine will run out. And I actually want us to focus on the wine will run out, because where does this wine end up when it runs out? And then it says, and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both can be preserved. So, if we could allow the wine to be poured into adequate containers that have not been refined to expand it or expand it to be able to receive the fullness of God, or are we still trying to get a portion? When he's offered and made available to us so much more. So I'm definitely interested, I don't know how many people are online, but I'm definitely interested to see how your life assignments have gone, how you have been able to identify where you're at in this process. And if you have received new wineskins, what's preventing it? If you have the new wineskin, are you still trying to put old wine in it?
It is interesting that one translation says that we're not going to like the taste of the new move of God. We're going to see it, observe it, perceive it, and desire the old. Are we still somewhere desiring the old methodology, the old way of doing things, the old move of God? Are we still somewhere rejecting what he wants to do because it doesn't make sense, it doesn't fit, we don't understand it, we think it should be somebody else's job, role, or responsibility? Where are we at in this process? So, your lines are open, and I would love to hear from you.
Okay. As you ponder over it, let's look at Luke, the fifth chapter, the 33rd through the 39th verse. And it is just it's the great physician's or the physician's way of viewing this process. Okay, so he says, then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees? But yours eat and drink. And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. I don't know how many people were into making quilts or patchwork, and we were notorious from taking pieces and sewing them or ironing them on something else to cover up a hole or to make a new garment altogether. I can visualize a patchwork jean skirt made out of pieces of all your favorite materials coming together to form something. And while visually it may look good, the effectiveness of it, the quality is not going to be the same because each of those different patches has a different ability to withstand the tension, the pulling, the how you would sew it together or get it to stay together. Each patch that you're inserting into this work is designed or was designed for something different. And I believe that sometimes we patchwork the process of God. We take the pieces that we prefer and we create something else. It could be a ministry, it could be relationships, it could be jobs, opportunity, any number of things. And we try to make what we've made work when he says, get rid of it. He says, no one should put new wine into an old wineskin. No one should take what existed and had a different purpose and try to repurpose it for this new move of God or this expanded, I like that word better, experience or journey with God. He says, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and it will spill, and the wineskin will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into a new wineskin, and both are preserved. And no one, having drank the old wine, immediately desires new, for they say the old is better. And this is partially where we left off before. But what are the things that we have
declared, verbally or non-verbally, that the old way is better. It's tried and it's true, and there is no need to fix what isn't broke. And interesting, it doesn't say that anything is wrong with the old wineskin other than it can't have what God is doing. So how many of us have just perfected the old and are reluctant to get rid of it just because God is looking to do something expanded? How many of us have perfected the old and now we've contacted the Lord, okay? We text them, Facebook them, whatever it was we did to let them know, my containers are ready now. I finally got this to work, and we're good, and you can release on me now. And we look to receive the outpour, not understanding that the container can't house it. And so it says that it is filled. And so that makes me wonder if other people have captured what was intended for us, but because we had not made the proper preparation, it spilled. And because it had an assignment and a purpose that it had to accomplish, it was accomplished in and on someone else. Listeners? That's great. Is someone speaking? I think that is a quiet no.
Well, I think that one of the things, this is only here, as you were speaking about the old wineskin, it's just like a pair of shoes that you get used to, and they're very comfortable. They're still semi-stylish, so, you know, you don't mind, as they call it, rocking them, but you may have to walk in a place where those shoes won't be appropriate anymore, but you refuse to wear different kinds of shoes because you're so comfortable in the ones that you've already worn in, and they kind of fit your feet. And
okay.
And so those things that are tradition are things that we've gotten used to, and there's nothing wrong with them. It's just that where we're going to walk, we may need to take those shoes off and put on a different pair of shoes, or one of the things that said the wine would spill out, or because the container will not be able to sustain or contain us. I think you preached Sunday about we're going to a place where we can't maintain the God that comes, that's flowing upon us. And it's just like with this old wineskin, we know that God, and we can contain because we kind of know he does it this way, and he does this that way, and so I'm used to that. But we don't know, or there are more aspects of God that we don't know and that we're not familiar enough with that we feel comfortable with, which is why I think he said the new wine won't taste right at first. It's something that we have to get used to. We have to get comfortable with it, but we get comfortable with it because we're trusting that it's from God. And we're trusting what God does, not so much what the thing itself is, but that God is in charge and God is going to maintain it. And so that's us not being the captain no more. See, with the old wineskin, we're the captain because we know how it goes. But when we go to new wineskin, we don't know the way. We don't know how it goes. We don't know this aspect of God. We don't know what it'll look like, how it'll feel. And we'll even think, oh, this can't be right. This don't feel right. This does not feel that warm, fuzzy, God loves me. It's that thing, one of the classes at the retreat was, help, I think God is trying to kill me. Absolutely, because he is crucifying our flesh because we have to die to get closer to him, to get the more of him, to be filled with the more of who he is, the less of us has to be there. And for that to happen, we have to shed off the old. And trust me, I understand it, the shedding off of the old skin, okay, to get the new skin. But even in getting the new skin, it takes time for that skin to develop, as you were saying about the patchwork skirt. When each one has different pressure points, because each one has been used and the different kind of functions and forces have been against it at different places in time. And the new way has to have a united front. And so having this new wineskin, this one new piece, this new way of doing things that will house, if you will, not really even house, but help to establish in our life this new part of God that we haven't been familiar with, is what will give us this taste. And so it'll cure, it'll cure, what do they call it, age the skin, so that the skin, even the new wine skin, can hold, will hold until it's time for that as well to be replaced. That's it.
All right. Amen. I believe that the process is encouraging because we're going to get the wine. And he's not going to stop until we have the new skin. We just have to make sure that we're not guilty of trying to mix and mingle old and new wine. Because what happens is we miss the abundance and we end up living a miserable and meaningless lives. What we need to understand is the moment we decide to mix the two, the moment we decide to become a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, the moment that we say, Lord, I hear you, and I will do it, but I'll do it in this time, or I'll do it this way, or I'll give this way. I will serve in this capacity, but not that capacity. And the moment we begin to bargain and or try to negotiate with God, what we will discover is that the drink or the new wine will never satisfy us because we have tried to alter the taste of it by mixing and mingling the two. In addition to that, we need to choose ye this day. The Lord is offering us a drink or offering us some new skin. And we're putting the Lord on our own timetable to tell him how we'll take it or when we'll take it, how we'll use it, if we'll use it. And he's saying, I'm desiring to pour out in you a greater measure of myself. And I can't be housed in your current perspective and or understanding about me. And so I offer you an invitation to expand your thinking, to expand your knowledge, to expand your experience with me, to allow me to change and to upgrade. My presence in your experience. Somebody saying something?
Yes, Pastor Roger. So what
true?
You're saying, when we're going through this process, it takes me back to Abraham not knowing where he was going, but trusting in God. and we had, he had to let go everything that he was attached to. And this is what Overseer was talking about, that comfort zone. Whereas we can come out the comfort zone, we got an opportunity to have a relationship with God at a certain level, and we want to stay there, if I'm hearing, if this is what I'm hearing for me. And then you realize that God want to get to know you or show you more of himself. So he want to increase our knowledge. And then we have to continue to move forward, trusting in God and not our friends, our loved ones, or, you know, the things that we know to do. But when we limit God and we think that we can do some things as other leaders, Moses, even Abraham in one case, but if we totally trust in God, there's no limitation to where God will take us with this new wine. Whereas with the old wine, you may have accomplished certain values, gifts and talents, or whatever we're going to call them in building the kingdom. But if you want to stay there, there's no room for further growth until we follow Christ. And I even look at it sometimes, even unto death, where we're challenged that we go through the experience that you could die doing this. And will you deny yourself, or do you die daily? Because when we choose to give up what it is that we want during this process, and we do what God has given us, his spiritual guidance, and we walk in by faith, and we can give up the flesh, or we can give up what we think we want, then we can go and get that peace that we're looking for, or rest. Because sometimes if we're looking for what God can give us, you won't find no peace, because he gives us the desires of our heart. But if we're just looking for material gain, that doesn't give us peace, because we're going to constantly be looking for more and more. So I'm trying to talk about what I'm going through in my life. I guess this will be my testimony, where I'm at a level where God's saying, when he say, seek us wholeheartedly, and if we can give up everything, that God will take us to a level that we can't imagine what he has for us. And then he's saying, he'll show you, he would show us those things that not only do he want us to build the kingdom, that we have the abundance, but also that we can be providers, or helping other people to get to know who he is. So I was going through some things, and I don't want to tell my testimony and all of that, but laying up on a stretcher and not knowing if you're going to make it or not, and then God show you what it is he is to us in our walk with him. And if we can have total trust in God, he said there's no limitation what he can do. And I just thank God for what he's showing me. He's saying if we have the faith, we can ask anything. And if we have faith enough to believe it, he'll do the rest. He'll remove, because he will remove the old skin from us. If we have total trust and relax in God, he said, get out the way, Diane, because I love it when he say, if you trust me, I'll do it. Because sometimes we don't know what to do. I know I was struggling. 3 years ago, I was really struggling. But I know I love God. And then even in that process, when we love God and we give him all our love with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, then God is not a man that he could lie. So now I'm learning to trust him and not lean to my own understanding. and that builds that relationship. Some of the things I have no idea what I'm doing, but when I know I can hear God, then I obey and I do it.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that I'm experiencing now. And I know sometimes I may seem like I'm rallying, but I just be fooled. And I said, I used to be ashamed to talk, but I'm not ashamed and I don't have the fear anymore.
Amen.
So when we know we're working for the Lord, he said, I'll do it. He keeps saying, you just move forward. I'll do it. He don't want us looking back. And I guess that's coming out that old skin. The scriptures say, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Mm-hmm. We know the serpent knows when to shed the skin. So I guess that's my testimony. I'm full.
I definitely appreciate you sharing, Pastor. As you were speaking, you made mention of Abraham. He's just a perfect example for this, because Abraham went through several changes of wineskins. His name changed from Abram to Abraham. But it is interesting that as Abraham grew in the Lord, that at one point in his journey, what the Lord required of him was his promise. And the scripture says in Genesis 22, it says sometimes later. First of all, the Lord made a promise to Abraham as if it was something that was going to happen in a few months. And it took, 24 years almost for it to completely manifest. That's number one. So for so many of us, it's in the midst of the wait that, we shed. The wait is the wait exists for us to get new wineskins. That's the word I'm looking for. And so later on, the scripture says in Genesis 22, it says, sometimes later God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here am I. Abraham replied. Then God said to him, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain, and that I will show you. Abraham's process has been so intense and involved, and now the Lord is saying, I want to give you, you need new wineskins. And the way to get this next set of wineskins is you have what I'm giving you, you have to, I want to kind of say, unload. You have too much right now. And so I need you to shed some of what you have so that I can give you something that you need. Then I need to see whether your allegiance is to me or is it to what I've promised and given you. That's, I'll just say, very unique for me. So Abraham is in this place where he has to be able to begin his faith, put up or shut up. I'm sorry, go on. Is someone speaking?
Yes, I was going to share.
I think it's you.
Well, I was going to share that was Abraham's third wineskin. Because his first wineskin was when he was told to leave his mother's, it's not his home, and go somewhere he didn't even know. So that was the first get out your comfort zone. And then the second was him having a baby in his old age. That was another new wineskin. That certainly was a crisis of belief, I'm sure, when he first heard it, that he had to get with God about a new wineskin. God, how can he do something like this, changing the traditional way of nature? And he had to get, but God wanted to show him he was greater than nature. And so each step of his journey became a new wineskin that introduced him to a new aspect of God, till when he got to the point to give up his offspring, there was no problem because he had done the other steps first, or he had gone through the proper placement of wineskins. That's it.
Amen. Sometimes, because we bypass or we skip or we cheat in part of our process, what we miss is that process was necessary for the next one. And so I was wondering, I knew it had been multiple wineskins, but I was sitting here trying to flip through Genesis to see exactly, you know, which wineskin this was. You know, he got to a point where he had to get rid of his other son that God only didn't even acknowledge at this point. He had to put that boy away because he says, look, you know, you're going to hear a prophetic word about that you created out of your flesh, and it is, that's going to be hard. And no matter how great the prophetic word is for that which is coming from the Spirit, it's not going to do away with that which you created out of your flesh. And so sometimes along our process, as the formation of these new wineskins come, because we look to assist God in doing what only God can do, our assistance causes our blessing to fall to the ground and be spilled. And so we it ruins, it destroys a wineskin. And so we have the opportunity, as we're reflecting, to look at, Father, what have I destroyed? Father, I repent for the wineskins that and the wine that has spilled, that I have learned according to Scripture, that I wasn't faithful and diligent with and over. And there's some things, according to your word, you said you blessed me, but those blessings were temporary. And it wasn't the fulfillment of your will, but you did bless me. And so many times we're struggling within our process because we were blessed through temporary means. All right, well, I definitely enjoy sharing this. I encourage you to look at Abraham. Well, you know the story of Abraham. The Lord asked him to sacrifice his only son, and you know how that fared out for him. But it's sometimes the Lord requires of us the hard thing, and it is a test of our faith. And will we believe? Will we trust God when our faith is put to the test? Will we pass it by receiving a new wineskin? Will we pass it by giving him the old and opening ourselves up to the new and saying it is well? It is well, and accepting that which the Lord desires to do to us and through us and for us. So we have enjoyed this time of sharing with you. Thank you for interacting. Thank you for sharing. We look forward to continuing to share. And I want overseer said something to the extent of begin to praise the Lord as if you had the keys in your hand. And I thought that was a very interesting statement. And it was like, oh, this may be my praise if I had the keys in my hand. Good Lord. Because so many other things become into play. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, through this next week to begin to think and or reflect on what has to change. What is the Lord looking to have changed and or altered in our mind or in our process
to bring us into the new? Are we ready spiritually for this move? Are we ready physically, emotionally, relationally, financially? Are we ready for it? Have we done the examine yourself? Have we done the self examinations that are needed and addressed it through the eyes of the Lord for what He's requiring? There are things that we can't take with us. Not that they're bad or good, they just can't go. There are mindsets we can't take with us, positions we can't take with us, attitudes we can't take with us. And so I just want to encourage you during this time to allow the Lord to let you know what it is that can't and or cannot enter into this level of the promise. And if there are things that we have found that are important or that we think are essential or whatever, that He said, no, that can't go. Are you ready to let it go? If you hold a position and He says, no, you can, that's not what I want you to do over there. I want you to do this. And you go, well, I don't do that. That's somebody else's job. Or, Lord, you mean to tell me you had me do all of this just to now do that? Whatever the case may be, does the Lord have our yes? Yes, I hear someone speaking.
Yeah, but isn't that what Jesus explained to the disciples, that we go to serve rather than be served? And those the greatest among you will be the servants. So wherever we go, when we wherever we go, whether it's to this place or that place, wherever we go to work for the Lord, wouldn't we take the position of the servant and then allow the Holy Spirit to utilize us to wherever He wants us to become?
Definitely agree with you, Pastor. But sometimes we, in taking the position of the servant, it's that position that we found purpose in and not in God. It's the position that we praise, not God. And so, you know, if I am the, I don't want to use any of those examples. I don't have an example to give. But, you know, if I was the person that cleaned the bathroom and we got to a different place and they said, no, you can no longer clean the bathrooms, we're going to hire somebody to do it, how do I now feel? Do I feel cast aside? I was good enough to do it then, but now I can't. All of those are emotional, psychological, spiritual places.
But that's coming out the old wineskin.
Yes, it is. So we need to make sure that we leave the old wineskin at 1750 West 103rd Street and that we receive wholeheartedly the new wineskin and wine. For 150 East 124th Place, because maybe we're willing to exchange the skin, but we still want to sip out of the same cup. We don't even mind if he offers us a different glass of wine, as long as I can still keep the familiar glass. And so just kind of emotionally and spiritually making those surrendering, over here it says surrendering everything. Making those assessments so that, what was the scripture we read? We started off with it, seeing but not seeing, hearing but not hearing it, understand, so that that's not listed amongst us. So again, it has been wonderful
interacting and sharing, and I look forward to entering into the new with each of you, and as the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to make wine. We were talking about getting these super cool wine skins, and I am reminded of the wonder, I don't even know how many years ago that was, that she showed us how that wine went through the wine press and was made. And good Lord to Jesus. It's one thing to receive the wine. It's a whole other thing to go through the press and the crushing to get to the wine. And so may we enjoy the process and trust He who is sovereign, that His sovereign rule and way is what's best for us. So until next Wednesday, enjoy the process. Enjoy and yield and submit to the process. And in the midst of it, let praise be continuously found on your lips. Let it be contagious. Let it be contagious. All right, we've enjoyed being your host, your servant. And love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too.